traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I go on Twitter, Logan Paul is trending. And so, you know, when I see my name trending, I put on my vest. Here we go, my bulletproof vest. I'm like, this is it. What is it this time? Look at the tweets. Logan Paul sucked the dick. Logan Paul sucking video leaked. And I'm really scrubbing my memory at this time.
I'm like,
I know I party hard.
Was it like Cancun?
When did
like 2003?
Exactly.
Like, what was it?
I'm like, I told Mike, I go, I'm 99% sure I did not suck a dick. But I, who knows?
Yeah.
Like, it's well, you, like... You,
he built a whole school for his kids.
He built a school
just for his kids. Just a fish, bro.
He
built an aquarium.
Are you sure he didn't build kids for his school?
He could have done that.
Hey, are we rolling?
Yeah.
How long have we been rolling for?
All time.
Just talking about some real dumb shit. Welcome back to Impulsive. Woo! 2019's best podcast of the year and the number one podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2020.
We're back.
It's a new decade. And I'm feeling way good. Every new year, I set some like mild New Year's resolutions. And I gotta say, I do a bad job of following up on them and actually like making them come through. 2020 seems different. 2020 seems like such a powerful year and an opportunity to get these next 10 years right.
I feel it.
And I'm just motivated and inspired, man.
So what's your resolutions? I heard no drinking. Is this like a thing? Are you guys actually going to send it?
So that was not that much confidence.
I don't think you call no drinking sending it. It's like the opposite.
It's like an anti-send.
Yeah, we're not going to send.
Yeah.
We're done sending.
I found this little microphone on the floor.
Sort of. That's cool, Mike. Make sure you distract us with talking about important shit with dumb shit from now on every time you possibly can. I hate you. You're off today, bro. I know. Let's get on, bro. It's the first podcast of 2020. We're back. We've been gone for a month. We have a lot to talk about, but yeah.
What's the rush?
We're sober. 2020, bro. So far, so good.
It's happening.
My real...
I heard there's some like stipulations, though, from Andre, and I don't know if those are true or not, but...
Let me just clarify. All right. Here are the rules I made for myself.
Oh, no.
Sober 2020, excluding... Coachella?
I
gotta get fucked up at Coachella, please. The ranch? My ranch? Man, it's nice to be at the ranch and just kick back with like a scotch.
How often are we gonna be at the ranch?
Every day. and vacation.
Okay.
He's like, I'm gonna be sober all 2020. I had a few exceptions. Yeah. Monday through Sunday is the first one. So any day that falls within Monday through Sunday, I'm gonna be absolutely obliterated.
There's an asterisk.
Any day that has evenings. So any day that there's an evening, I'll probably get fucking obliterated. Done.
But you're doing it.
I'm doing full. And by the way, I'm not so sure that I'll ever drink again for the history of my life.
Wow. Wow.
How did you have
that much water in your mouth? It's like a fucking waterfall, like a ski dude. You turn into a jet ski.
Never drink again?
Here's why. Focus right here for a second, Andre. I'll just stick this on here for a second.
That's disgusting.
Here's why.
Ew. Pearl bing.
I said to myself the following. In life, when you look at certain scenarios, depending on how you pronounce it, if you cannot come up with enough pros to defeat said cons, then you shall not do said activity, okay? Now, I said to people who look at drinking as a potential activity or scenario that they like, and I say, give me some pros and some cons. Mm-hmm. You can never come up with enough pros. What are the pros, dude? They let me get wild, dude. I freak out when I drink. Okay, here's 52 cons. You crash your car, you fuck random skanks without condoms, you puke all over the place, you're hungover, you eat everything in sight, you call your mom fucking names, you jerk off in public. That's 82 cons, and all you got was, I let loose, man. I like to drink and fucking get wild. Like, no.
Take off the stress.
Like, it takes the stress off and it lets me open up. I can't get any more open. Okay, when I drink, I actually go the opposite direction. So for me, drinking is not, I'm not a huge fan of it.
That's profound.
I do it just because everybody else is doing it, to be honest with you, which is just like, if you're, you know, everyone you know jumps off a bridge, I'm the guy that's like, woo, right after everybody else, dude.
Well, sounds a lot like TikTok, too.
Ooh, that's a fact. It's the only, it's the reason we do TikToks now. It's because we can't ignore it. Everyone else is doing it. Now we're dancing in front of our phones to songs like everyone else.
I'm not. I'm sitting that play out still.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mad
you
Noble.
Wait, you don't have it it yet? Congratulations, bro.
Thank you. I had it for 2 seconds. Somebody shared a video, and then I couldn't even move. Like, I couldn't even pick the content that I wanted to view. I got scared and then I left.
Yeah. It's like scratch offs. Like, it's like you see other people like Jim 30 from Missouri won $2.2 million. And you're like, yeah, I gotta fucking play it. Cause what if I get famous? What if I get 200 million followers on TikTok and start getting a billion views? And I tweeted, I tried really hard. This isn't the exact tweet, but I tried really hard, but I don't want to see any more 13-year-old girls lip syncing the baby talking about getting his dick sucked, bro. Like, I'm tired of seeing it. It's all 12-year-olds, and they're like, how's the song go, dude?
I pull out her weave and I titty fuck.
I titty fuck. And the girl's like, yeah. They're like 12 years old. They shouldn't be listening to that music, let alone lip syncing the baby going, he's getting his dick sucked. Yeah, what's going on in that app? Is there some sort of censorship that could be implemented?
It hurts my heart. I don't even know what to say.
I got faith. I don't. No, that's a lie. But I'm on it. I joined the bandwagon. We have a lot to cover.
Yeah.
I want to give like a brief kind of outline of what all the stuff we're going to do. Because like we have been gone for a month and this month has been jam-packed with activities, both good and bad. We've been gone for a month. We've been partying in New York. We sat courtside at the Knicks game. We got escorted around the craziest mall I've ever been to in my life. It's called the American Dream. It's absolutely insane. Crazier than the Dubai Mall, and I did not think that could be beat, so I want to talk about that a little bit. In New York, when we were at New York, we had a dick-sucking controversy. This is the first time I'll address it on one of my platforms, because I've been asked about it a lot, but like that was weird. Then I flew to Ohio. We split up. You flew to Connecticut. For Christmas. I contracted influenza. For the first time in my life, I got the flu. The actual flu.
Really?
The worst sickness I've ever gotten in my life. For everyone who is debating getting the flu shot, please get the fucking flu shot. I sweat the bed every day. There was points where I was laying down, not sure if I was going to survive, dude. Like, I was just, like, shaking a bed. I'm like, this is horrifying.
He got in the habit of saying, Mike, my health.
My health.
My health.
It was suffering.
He's super concerned. I got it too, by the way.
You got a
more mild case than his.
Yeah, we went to Lake Tahoe for New Year's, and we partied there with the Snow Globe Festival. Worst festival in the world.
It's pretty bad. I'm sure there's like some sort of festival of like the Festival of Lights in Tuscaloosa.
I'll tell you why it was bad.
Where was it? First off, is this a resort?
It was in Tahoe. No, it was in the woods, which was sick. Like, it was set up to be awesome. The Snow Globe Festival we're talking about.
Okay.
The problem was, I actually think this might be the only problem. The neighbors were complaining about the decibel level of the music.
Yeah, what? Lake Tahoe has like a thing in place where you can't have music above a certain level, and so basically, when you get there, it's like you know when you watch TV on like the lowest setting, but you could still kind of hear the volume.
Right,
that's kind of what it was.
So you're just like constantly wishing the volume.
The turn up was almost impossible because the volume was set. It sounded like it was coming from like a mini UE boom.
Ooh.
Like Skrillex. Like Skrillex was like 10, 9.
Yeah,
eight,
it was tough.
7.
It was
like for the New Year's ball drop.
Buzzkill.
The logistics were tough too. Just like the long ass walk from in the cold from your car to it. But you know, we were there.
Wait, so it was in the woods. Were the neighbors complaining? Were these
There's
bears?
No neighbor. Yeah. No, it's a good question. Who are the neighbors trying to appease with this low volume? Like a group of small owls? Like there was no one for fucking vast square mileage, bro. You had to walk. By the way, I know this because we walked.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
We had to walk. You had to troop it. It was like the Ho Chi Minh Trail, bro, to get into this fucking shithole, dude. And everybody's, all these people around us are tripping on ass. There's like, there's Logan Paul. There's Logan Paul. And we're just like walking, dude. And one of our, the girl we were with, she tripped and busted her ass. Is that later on?
Yeah. No, right. we could talk about that. We were with these girls, and the one is she's the prettiest girl I've ever seen in
my life.
She's
very pretty,
ever.
Dude.
Not mm-hmm. very pretty is an
got
under
a home run slugger as a dad. She, yeah, Logan's dating her. It's official.
It's
oh shit.
She's
we
gorgeous.
Tiptoe around
she's
that?
Gorgeous. She was sliding on the ice. She's really athletic because her dad's like a athletic military or MLB legend, and she was running on the ice and she slipped and man she ate shit. And I will say I do have a pet peeve to I hate seeing girls fall.
Yeah, I hate seeing girls fall.
But somehow she fell hot.
Did she play it off?
No, she didn't play it off. She could have got like cover magazine of getting up. Like there was like I've a fan blowing when she got up and you heard.
So she was just she smoking
fell. Hot. Dude, what girl falls hot, bro? I swear to God, she fell and like three judges popped out of nowhere, like held up signs. They're like, 10, you're ten. Gorgeous. Like that was bro, amazing.
I think that's a keeper. I think that's what happens
I've
when
you
find a keeper.
I've never seen anything
bro,
like
this girl's hotter
it.
Than
that's
a
called an
pot
anomaly.
Of water, dude.
Hotter than a pot of boiling water.
Boiling fucking water, yeah. Dude. She's like a witch's brew, but even prettier.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got after Tahoe, we survived that. And then we got 2020 started right or extremely wrong.
Uh-oh.
And way too fast. But we got it started intensely.
Where were we?
We went to a 72-hour intensive military combat training camp in Virginia, Fredericksburg, Virginia, which we're going to dive in. Again, we're going to dive into all this. And then today, Jake Paul's press conference and all the buzz around the biggest potential sporting event of 2020, me versus Antonio Brown. Hey, so we're gonna dive into all this, and not to mention fucking Iran and World War III.
God freaking god dang it.
And the Australian bushfires that have killed, what, 1 billion animals now?
Yeah. I mean, with this much stuff having happened already in 2020,
dude.
We've got to be almost at the end of the year.
It feels like it, because with all
the stuff you just mentioned, we are a year in already, but really, we're fucking seven. How has all of this stuff been scrunched into the
into
first,
like a week?
A week.
It's wild. This way wild. This way.
The hell do
wild.
We do?
Should we start with? Let's go chronological. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a good chronological trip.
Cool.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, Mike and I flew to New York, and he knew that for him, 2020 was going to be a very sober, responsible year. And I knew I was going to be sober for the majority of the year, especially with the fights and stuff. Like, you know, when I get a fight, you know, 3 months, 4 months, no drinking, anything. So we raged. We went extremely, extremely hard. Our friend John Schwartz at the Tau Group hooked us up with courtside seats at the Knicks game. And we had a great time there. They brought a bunch of really cool girls. And then we were at dinner. How specific gonna be here?
It's extremely. Oh, with the fucking guy again. Yeah. You can't mention the guy.
All right.
It's been a spelled disaster.
We're at dinner with some important people.
Very important fucking people.
There we go.
And
okay. Mike, important to talk about.
Mike goes to the bathroom, and Jay texts me. He's like, "Yo, you sucked a dick."
Yeah.
I text him back. I go, "I did." He goes, "Yeah, man, it's on Twitter. Check Twitter." And so I go on Twitter. Logan Paul is trending, and so you know when I see my name trending, I put on my vest. Here we go, my bulletproof vest. I'm like, "This is it. What is it this time?" Look at the tweets. Logan Paul sucked a dick. Logan Paul dick sucking video leaked. And I'm really scrubbing my memory at this time.
I'm like, how fucked up did I get?
I know I party hard.
Was it like Cancun?
When did
like 2003?
Exactly.
Like what was it?
I told Mike, I'm 99% sure I did not suck a dick, but who knows?
Yeah.
Life, it's life.
I mean, it could have been like a wild ass night the night before.
Anything.
And just, you just deep throat.
Exactly.
You know?
So Mike comes back to the table and I brief him. I go, "Mike, stop." He goes, "What?" I go, "This one's weird. Out of every, this moment right here, we've had a lot of these moments." Like,
I think like three or four of them, I said on the show, always at dinner, because we talked about this on Barstool Sports afterwards. Always at dinner. Usually when we're traveling, it's happened in multiple other locations. The last time was for his heated remarks on abortion during the KSI lead up. And Mike, I'm trending. And then it's just a race. Like, what do we do? Get the PR team on the line. Get the management on the fucking line. Yep. Everybody come together to try to figure out
crisis management.
But this time, we didn't do anything. a crisis. There's no T in that word. It was a crisis that we did not cause.
Didn't do any. This was the first time.
Or at least we didn't think.
We didn't think. I was hands off. Mouth on, hands off.
Yes.
But I go, Mike. Nice. I go, Mike, this one's weird. A video of a guy, my doppelganger, who looks like me, sucking a dick. Like, I'll just say, he's getting face fucked upside down. Like, this is the position of millennials. Like, you know how girls are flipping upside down on the bed and hanging off the edge now?
I don't know that he does, though.
What? I didn't watch it.
No. But I mean, have you ever upside down face fucked a woman before? Do you know what he's talking about?
We'll see.
Okay. What do you mean? What does that mean?
I don't know, dude.
We'll see.
He has no idea. No
you can't
idea
use whatever. We'll see to talk about a past event. That's how it works. We'll see. by the way.
Is that the best thing that could happen where you're kind of like blowing up and you don't have to do anything?
Sort of. I will say I it's cool that I was trending, right? Staying relevant. I just wish it wasn't for having a dick in my mouth. In my alleged mouth. So Mike's like, don't worry, it'll blow over.
Why does every term have a fucking hidden...
Don't worry, it'll
blow over. I know it sucks, man, but this one's really going to blow over. Trust me, you're really going to come to on this.
He goes, don't
There's
worry.
There's no doubt in my throat.
Isn't the quote like any publicity good publicity?
Yeah, but I've come out and said this before. That is so not true.
Yeah.
That is this particular
you turned this
one
into something good, though.
Exactly.
I felt good. From a third-party perspective, I was like, that's my boy. You handled that dick sucking real well.
Thanks, bro.
You took it like a champ.
And so, by the way, his doppelbanger in the video. This guy could suck a fucking
really?
Dick.
Yeah, he could go
and
dick. I was this close to looking it up. I typed it in, and then I put my phone away. I was like, you know what?
I don't have to see this.
2020 is going to go well for me.
And by the way, sharp. I think a lot of people gave a ton of respect to the doppelbanger dude, and this dude was getting his neck javelined.
I do want to
throw a shout out very quickly to the man with the javelin. That was a massive
big old hammer,
massive white penis. That's the kind of penis I'm used to seeing on Blacked Raw, dude.
So check it out.
This was a fucking fire
check
hose,
it out.
Dude. This man had a fucking gargantuan hot dog cock, dude. Go ahead.
I found this guy.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I'm gonna skip ahead here for a second, then we'll go back. But
wow,
my first thought was, you know, I gotta interview the guy who sucked the dick for me.
Yeah,
I gotta find
what a
him.
Phenomenal!
I gotta fucking find him. I managed to find the dude who was
delivering,
getting his dick sucked. Yes,
who's delegating?
And bro, by the way, I'm on his page. First off, he does porn. He does gay porn.
Oh, you don't see
his dick is not only huge, it's everywhere. It's bro. There's a video of him. Saying like, "Come fight me, Logan Paul." And he's just like slapping his dick on his thighs. And,
what?
And I'm just like, "What is this?
Oh my!
It's a dark place. It's a dark place for me to be on Twitter." But I knew I had to find the guy who sucked the dick.
Is he coming on Impulsive?
Well.
Hopefully he doesn't do that. Actually, now that I think about it.
Please don't come ejaculate on my show. So I talked to him. I'm like, "Hey, man, like, I gotta find the dude. I gotta find the guy who looks like me." He's like, "Hey, dude, like, we had a real bad breakup." We broke up, and he actually never even wanted to do porn, so he kind of like hates me. But you know, some decisions in life you can't take back. I was like, you sound like you have some empathy issues, but that sucks. So I couldn't find the guy. I cannot interview the guy, my doppelbanger. So anyways, this happens at dinner. I'm like, Mike, it's not going to blow over. I refresh. It's at like 5,000 tweets. Sure enough, bro, 300,000 tweets. And so I did what I do best, and that is... troll the entire fucking internet. You know, there was two responses.
Embrace
one. It was one like,
no, I didn't suck the dick. It wasn't me. Trust me, I'm not gay.
But or just like, you know, fuck. Like let's have some fun with this. So I tweeted, you know, 100K retweets. Not released a full sex tape. James Charles, you're next. To which James tweeted back. Sorry, bro. I only go for straight guys. Bro, look at the numbers these did.
Wow.
214,000. Like, this is just some good quality internet fun.
It's always fun when the person that responds to your tweet gets more engagement than you. It's just James Charles is a god dang powerhouse.
Yeah. Well, he DM'd me on Instagram and he said, yo, is the video real? I'm like, and James, I would consider James a friend. And so I go, I'm sorry, James. I don't know. It's not real. He goes, oh, that sucks or whatever. And I was like, yeah, man, I hate that I say this, but like, I'm painfully straight. And he goes, oh, really? How about now? I was like, nope, still straight, man. And then Jeffree Star DM'd me too. And then I was like, I know you're two-timing me. I know you're DMing Mike, so leave me alone. And I just said that. I think I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, it's not a lie.
Yeah, well,
fuck. It's not a lie. When they say they sorry, bro, I only go for straight guys, the internet like hackles and giggles at it, but it's actually kind of true. I'm not gonna lie.
When are they gonna come on the show? God dang it,
Spencer. Again. What's with all the splooge jokes?
It's just bad timing.
So then we go to the store and do what I do best again. We troll the internet. So I fill these little
carts.
What would you call those?
Contraptions.
Baskets. Yeah.
Baskets.
Baskets.
Thank you. Who said it?
What was that? When,
Mac,
that was
Mac, good job.
Sharp. Fill these baskets with these phallic shaped produce. We got eggplants and cucumbers. And
by the way, can we talk about this for a second?
Sure,
we're still in New York City. Where we are leaving our hotel to get on a flight to go visit our families. It's Christmas time. There's old women with pink hair and blue hair shopping for their parsnips to make pie. And Logan goes, get this, man. We're going into Whole Foods and I'm going to get a whole bunch of dick-shaped vegetables. Stick them in a basket. You're going to take a picture of me. And I go, bro, I'm not going to lie to you, dude. I'm fucking 34 years old. I don't do fucking pranks, bro. Nobody likes pranks. Nobody likes TikToks unless they're under the age of like 16. And he's like, well, there's a lot of those people out there. So I'm like, fuck it, whatever, bring me along. So we go in there, he fills these baskets, and here's me in the middle of the fucking corn aisle. There's corn on like all sides me. And I'm just taking pictures of him. And by the way, you see the one picture he chose.
Oh,
what you don't know
is
there's 220 on the front end of it and 260 on the B side.
Yep.
I'm just sitting there snapping away. He's like, hey, wait, let me do this. And people are just like, yo, why are you doing this? What are you doing? And then he just puts the baskets on the ground.
Oh,
2017 Logan Paul style.
This,
he puts the baskets on the ground. He's like, let's go. I got the picture. And I go, but what about all the fucking phallic shaped vegetables? And we're walking on, I shit you not, the produce guy goes, hope you guys had fun and got your picture.
Oh no.
And I go, and we get down the street and I go, bro, we have to go back. We have to go back.
He goes, no, you didn't say that. What? You told me that that's what he said. And I go,
oh, yeah, I said that. But by the way, like, we shouldn't. Back. So, whatever. Fucking, here's a pie. Great job.
No, I just want to say, I took some accountability.
Fine. He did. Well, anyways, then he did. He was like, we have to go back. And I was like, should we go back? And he's like, we have to go back. So here's us now walking back into the store on camera and shit, picking up baskets of phallic shaped fucking vegetables. And we grab them, and the produce dude's like, happy stoked. And shit. And we walk around to the register, we get in line. Now we're standing next to other normal people with baskets of penis food. Everyone's just like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? And we go up to the register and I go, ma'am, I'm going to be blunt with you. We took all of your penis-shaped food off of the shelf. And this is a normal interaction for us. We don't think anything of it. We have these kind of conversations every fucking day. And we don't intend on doing anything with this food. We'd like to buy it and then donate it somewhere. Can you help us? She goes, boys, just want to let you know, like, just because you touched it all, you don't have to actually buy it. We'll just put it, we'll wash it and put it back. And I was like, really? And I pulled a wad of strip money I had taken to the strip club earlier. It was like 60 singles. And I just handed it. I go, ma'am, thank you. And I handed her 60 stripper singles. And we walked out of fucking Whole Foods.
Wow.
And successful mission.
What a gentleman thing for you to do.
But yeah, I lost money. He got a great, highly engaged photo for both Twitter and Instagram. I took it. I didn't get photo cred. I didn't even get a fucking thank you. And I lost 60 fucking dollars.
At the end, Mike goes, how the fuck did that end up costing me money?
God dang it, dude.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's the things you do for the team, bro.
Yeah, but we absorbed the controversy. And I found out when I flew back to Ohio and I was hanging out with my young cousins, like, if you were under the age of, I'll say 18, a lot of people really thought that was me.
Yeah.
I did not realize how many people legitimately thought I sucked a dick. And bro, I have people coming up to me in the mall, on camera. A paparazzi asked me today, they go, "Was that you in the tape?" And I just can't help but laugh. I guess this is one of those things, and I'll like be bold and say this here. You gotta be really fucking dumb, dude. Like a level unbeknownst to mankind.
We're in headline culture.
To not for 1 second use context clues and be like, okay, let me put this together here. Like, we've seen Logan. I don't even wanna get in here, but like, just, we are in headline culture.
Yeah.
And it upsets me that people are not able to deduce their own opinions. My friend sent me a text and said, I think the stat was only 20% of high school seniors can differentiate facts between opinions.
Yeah.
What?
Yikes.
Why is it so hard to believe that you LP with S a D? Like,
I'm not sure that's the hard part. I would argue, I mean, I'm telling you, go look up porn, but the dude in the video doesn't look like me.
Is that true?
That's
a big clue.
He has no beard, and his hair is not even blonde. It's like, look, I'm fun to pick on the internet. I'm fun to make fun of at this point in my life. Like, when people get a chance to dog on me, they take it.
Hell yeah.
And by the way, I love doing that too. Like, I made fun of myself here. It's fun. Like, mm-hmm. This is all a good time. But yeesh.
Dude, people gotta win somehow, bro. You know what I'm saying? Everything still, like, even after the fucking career-ending L you took against KSL, fucking, like, now anything you do trends you number one at Twitter. Here I go on Yes Man stage again. But it's literal. A lot of the shit you do trends. A lot of people fucking constantly are watching.
We're just strategic with the shit.
Hell
dude.
Fucking yeah, we are.
With this Antonio Brown shit.
If people see all the shit that we show them on the surface, but they don't even know the fucking weeks or months or years worth of
the
strategic chess pieces that move for this Antonio Brown situation to come to fruition. Like when we make a decision here in a strategic meeting, we'll start dropping little droplets, like little pamphlets over Vietnam to start it off, just to kick it off with a little propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh, wait, I think I heard something.
Yeah.
You didn't hear it because we fucked up and said it. We said it quietly so you would hear it and think we said it quietly.
From my perspective, it was fun to watch that, too, from you guys traveling and then, like, hearing. Can we talk about the AB situation?
Let's
dive in. Because when I saw you guys from a third-party perspective, I'm like, I see this pop up on my feed. I'm like, you guys are kidding, right? But then I realized, I was like, there's something smart here.
You thought it was a joke?
Yeah. I didn't know what to think.
AB was a joke?
I knew it was. No. I didn't know what to think. I was like, is this actually going to happen? Like, is he going to respond?
That came to fruition in a meeting in the studio when we're meeting with The Zone, and Joe Markowski goes.
That was pre-travel.
Pre-travel. Yeah. He goes.
It feels so much.
It feels like a while ago. He goes. You got any potential opponents? And I have been sitting on Antonio Brown.
Really?
And
okay.
So I
physically.
I told him. And he goes. Oh my God, mate, that would be incredible. That would be amazing. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, this fight would be incredible. There's a lot of people that could fight. There's a lot of opponents. I think that fight would be incredibly entertaining. The reason I think he'd be good is, A, he's an athlete. Assuming, not just an athlete, an elite athlete, one of the best in the NFL. Assuming he could pick up boxing pretty quickly. B, sort of like me post-Tokyo, he's in a shit position right now. I don't know how much the NFL is willing to touch him. And he could use a revitalization of his brand and his career in a way that I think boxing could really help him with, like it did me. Like, it allows him to focus on something else. It allows people to view him in a different light. See, the timing's perfect. After the Super Bowl, it's going to be the off season. He has 3 months to train for a fight. Everything is just lining up. And we mentioned it on the Barstool podcast the first time I said it, and nothing really happened. It didn't really blow up. Nothing really happened. And then this week, he must have saw it, and he saw the odds.
The betting odds.
I think that's what triggered him. He saw the betting odds. I think I was minus 2,000. He was plus 1,000. And it triggered him. Yeah, right here. It triggered him. And he responded to the Odd Shark tweet. And he said, oh, really? And then he tweeted at me and said, square up, at Logan Paul. To which I go to Mike. I was like, Mike told me about this tweet. He goes, yo, you see AB's tweet? And I'm like, oh shit, we're going to war? And we knew we had to come up with some viral shit. And so we came back and said, I'd drop you faster than the Patriots. Which by the way, I really do think.
Well played.
I do think I'd do some real damage here. Like, I know the dude's a freak fucking athlete, but this would be a sick fight. And I think I might be biased a little bit. I've been humbled by the L, but shit.
When are you gonna change, I got some hands. Yeah. When are you going to change that banner on your Twitter? Would you change it right now by chance? Right, yeah, do it.
It seems like so much work because you got to get the specs and everything.
I don't know if you know, but that fight's actually over.
It is over, yeah. But yeah, Chris D'Elia respond.
Make him a bet, something for the rest of the day.
Nah, you got no bet. Fuck a bet. 25,000 retweets, 182,000 favorites. Chris D'Elia responded. He said, wow, love a good slam. And then the dude under him said, love a good full circle moment. Because if you guys remember, Chris D'Elia absolutely fucked me in my face when he told me.
What the fuck?
Shit.
Talk about coming full circle. Holy shit. Wow. You like that? Right here. What's good?
When he made that tweet, I think like a year and a half, 2 years ago, he said, at least when my career dies, you can film it and put it on YouTube. And yeesh. Chris D'Elia is the king of slams.
He's a slammer, dude.
So this popped off. You know, I'm incredibly optimistic that this fight will happen. I think it'll be the biggest event of 2020.
We've been
more so than McGregor's return. I'm gonna be bold here. More so than Fury Wilder.
But when you say that, make sure you preface it like based on like it might sell more views. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it'll sell more. I don't think, like, what's the metric? What we always go back to is, what's the metric for success? I mean, when you talk about McGregor returning from a conversational standpoint and a general PR standpoint, that will technically garner a lot more conversation than this fight.
Okay.
But from a stream standpoint.
Maybe not, though.
Maybe not. This one's got some shock value to it.
It's the return of Conor fucking McGregor.
But it's also the return of Antonio Brown. Yeah, man. He's kind of shaking some feathers on the way out.
Yeah. But we care deeply about this, and I think it's a very strong fight. I'm not saying it's not, but in the sports world, AB is kind of like written off. Like, no, AB is an elite athlete, but
I disagree.
No, this is a fact. AB is not a talked about elite athlete anymore. Conor McGregor is currently still a
I disagree.
AB's big, man.
But not, he's like Colin, bro, he's like Colin Kaepernick. He's got potential, he's pushed out.
Regardless of. He may be pushed out, but people know who he is, and people will want to see him either win or get beat up. Just like me. Yeah. That's why fights work. That's like the model of fight. If loved or hated, people want to see you win. People want to see you get the shit kicked out of you. We talked about this today in an interview today.
That's
like
great.
Colby Covington.
God, his fucking...
God, a lot of people want to see him get fucked up.
We watched that. Did he showed up, though.
Colby Covington's a sick fighter.
He got fucked up.
Sick fighter. He got fucked up. He got fucked. He broke his jaw in the third round. And that was actually when I knew. I was like, you know, although I don't really know that much about the guy. I'm not even going to say I don't like him. But like, you have to put respect on Colby Covington.
He showed up.
For getting his jaw broke in the third round. Going. And then going for two more rounds. And then even honestly more respect for Kamaru Usman, who I think is the most solid fighter in the UFC. I've never seen someone stick to a game plan more than Kamaru Usman.
How bad does it feel to know that your biggest bet of all time in your whole life was against him?
Yep.
And we're sitting in the second row. We watched Woodley get smoked.
Funny, we would have known.
Should have done some research.
I told TMZ today, because by the way, we've already started the press junket for this particular battle, even though we're not even close to fucking signing the paperwork. I mean, we got conversation going, but we've already started talking about it. And I told TMZ today, the difference between this fight and Logan Paul KSI. Logan Paul KSI was the fourth most streamed event on DAZN this year. Massively, massively successful event. The difference is that in Logan Paul KSI, you have a household name and superstar in Logan Paul, and you have a British YouTuber in KSI. That is what he is. He's a very, very, very strong British YouTuber with a massive following, but at the end of the day, he's only invited on Good Morning Great Britain because he's fighting Logan Paul. Let's fucking be honest. Was he on that show talking about FIFA? No. Okay. So when you replace KSI, internet personality, extraordinaire, rolly chair guy, with a full-on sports phenom, household name, mainstream person,
right,
and now you've got two superstars in a fight, Now you're talking about a massive global wave on a non-internet level.
Of course.
On a sporting level. On a level that the Barstool crowd cares about, the ESPN SportsCenter crowd cares about, my dad cares about.
ESPN posted about that. I mean, that's you're in the conversation right off the beginning.
I told him as soon as I saw that, I sent him that post too, and I said, this is the epitome of sporting. I mean, when you get featured on SportsCenter Instagram, that it gets no higher than that. That is sports. I mean, who grew up watching SportsCenter? I know I did.
Yep. Same.
Just to let you know, too, he was at the peak of his career before this last season. He put up 15 touchdowns in 2018.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was
one season
for the Pats.
People are excited. For the Steelers.
Yeah. Because he left the Steelers and got picked up by the
Raiders.
Pats.
He did an interview with Complex, and this came out today actually. So this is brand new. So Complex said, the Logan Paul thing, is that really happening or are you just trolling? And he said, yeah, if he really wants to do it. He was calling me out for a couple months, said he wanted to fight me, that he's down to fight. So if old Logan wants to come, see if he wants to get a little rumble on. You got Floyd Mayweather training you? Yeah, I'm going to be out in Vegas. If Logan confirms, if he's serious about it, I don't want him to be writing checks you can't cash. You know, you're coming after me for a couple months. So I finally just hit him up like, hey, man, I've seen this too much. He must really want to make this happen. Seems like he does. I know, I've been hearing him talk about it a lot. Get that paper right so I can get out to Vegas and get in my zone. Did you watch his last fight? Yeah, he got beat, man. He's just been taking L's all over. He made a good pop, though. Made a lot of money.
See, I don't know if he knows this or not, but we actually did take a W. Best podcast in the entire world, based on what the stream he said.
Facts. Also,
and they're like, what? One of the most trusted sources in awards.
Yeah, respected. The fight made a lot of noise for sure. Then he said, it seems like Logan is a boxer for real, though, and I'm a big fan of him. He's a cool guy, man. Came to my house a couple years ago at the Super Bowl. Was all kind of love, but I'm excited about everything. He's promoting this craft and his brand, so it would be an honor if I could hook up with him. I think it would be pretty fun.
So that was actually interesting. When we read that, it was like, obviously, the pre-fight narrative between KSI and I is sheer just...
hatred.
Dirty hatred. Yeah. Like it's not healthy. It's toxic.
Right.
And it sells the fight. It's good. He seems to be coming at it from a pretty respectable place, which I like. And I do remember going to his house at the Super Bowl like 4 years ago. Yeah. I linked up with Rice Gum and Summer Rae and we watched the Super Bowl. And we went and hung out with him and you know, like we got along. There's no real beef now, but like me, I think like KSI and I, the beef sort of sold the fight and made it as big as it was because it was just true, just like resentment between two kids. This fight sells itself, dude. And it'll be cool to come at this. We'll see how it unfolds, but it'll be cool to come at this from a bit more of a classier angle than
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
What I've been doing when it comes to me, like attempting to become a showman and sell an event.
How do you think the fans feel about this build up here? They are coming off a diet content, you know, 3 months to end the year because of fight camp.
Yep.
They've gotten heavy promises going into 2020. Three vlogs a week, two podcasts. Do you think they're a little worried about what Logan Paul's output might look like in 2020 based on another fight, quick to fight situation? I mean, are the fans worried right now?
It depends who you ask. Like I've said this before. I DM regularly fan accounts.
Logan Softies.
Team Maverick LP is my go-to.
Shout out.
I love you. She's also from Australia. So she gives me insights as to like what's really happening.
You should
over
jump
there
into one Major of their group chats sometime.
I do sometimes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's cool. It's like it's real insights from your truest fans.
Yeah.
And she in particular loves the fight stuff.
Yeah.
She loves the fight interviews. She loves to build up everything. Ideally, yes. 3 vlogs a week would be awesome. And by the way, it might happen depending on when this fight is.
Do you think the stress from maybe not necessarily having hatred for the opponent would allow you to have a more regulated lifestyle leading into the fight.
For sure. So much less stressed.
I think it's like we're talking about a completely different story.
Yeah, it'd be nice to not have to shut down shop for fucking 3 months. You know what I'm saying? And
we'd still go into camp.
Yeah, but it's like that.
I think that the testosterone though probably wouldn't be as.
What's the intent? Here's like the thing that I think about. It's like, what's the intent? Like, other boxers shut down their lives and go to camp for 3 months so that when they fight, they can win, so they can get a bigger fight and continue to move up the ranks. If at the end of the day, your intent is not to become a professional boxer, your intent is to continue being, you know, the biggest entertainer, how many of these times can you step away from the rest of your craft for 3 months at a time? Do you know what I'm saying? Before you start to lose in that arena that you kind of own for these exhibition matches against football players and shit like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's a great question.
You don't have to have an answer. It's just a question.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do. I will say the one reason I'm so drawn to fighting is A, because I like it, and B, when you take a professional fight, there's a very, very clear separation from like just being a YouTuber and being whatever the fuck like I currently am, like an entertainer.
Which is so innovative too. That's got to feel, from your perspective, that's got to be something that's really like, you know, kind of a good feeling.
It's everything.
You're doing something that no one's ever done.
Everything I've ever wanted. And my goal since the day I came to Hollywood was to be the biggest entertainer in the world. Fuck being the biggest actor in the world. Fuck being the biggest YouTuber in the world. Fuck being the biggest TikTok. I don't want to do that one vertical. You're trying to do it all, which is why you took fights.
You sucked that dick. Awesome. Like, you've done a lot of stuff to try to really diversify.
Well, yeah, take a dick here and there, bro. That's mad respect. I mean, you see a lot of people do this too in different forms. Like, you see The Rock get in, if it come up through WWE. You see a lot of different people come up through. Different forms of fighting. So,
absolutely. I mean,
it's been done, but I think nobody is even close to doing it other than you and Jake, and you know, other people that are actually boxing in the YouTube space.
While we're on the boxing, do you want to just address the press conference today with Jake real quick?
Yeah, just real quick. I got one last note.
Okay.
AB in 2018 made roughly $8 million for the season.
Oh, so yeah. So that's about
500K per game. So I'm talking.
Do you know how much he made in 2019?
How much?
Look it up. I think the answer.
Well, that's just team. That's his payment for the team, right? Like, that's not endorsements and shit like that.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. That's his base salary. They're saying he got a $4.5 million signing bonus and a $1 million base salary for 2019.
I heard he made like a couple $100,000.
Probably. Yeah, he probably didn't get to keep all this. Because he didn't fulfill the contract.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, he's making 500K per game, which is an NFL game. What is that? 60 minutes or 40 minutes, something like that?
Look,
you're getting in the ring. You're making a couple M's real quick. I think he's going to take this fight. That's just my prediction.
Yep. Yeah.
I think from a bag perspective, it's a smart bag to go get.
Are you in?
I'm 100% in.
He's clocked in.
I'm clocked in. New merch coming from the Mike's Tonight Show.
Yeah, where's mine, by the way?
Clocked in. They're comfortable, bro. They're awesome. Yeah, I was rocking it last night.
You might want to go to medium.
Medium?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a year by it's a year bags and bagginess, dude. You go up a size.
We'll see how that plays out. Yeah, I'm 100% in. DAZN, obviously, is where the fight will be held.
Shout out Markowski. DAZN's
family. We love Markowski. We love
Matt Herm, too. We'll probably promote it.
Facts.
Hopefully, by the way, we've been talking about it. Hopefully, it would be at MSG. Madison Square Garden, New York City. The greatest arena in the world.
When we were there,
I saw that
with the Tao group, I put a picture up, me pointing to the center, and I said I will be fighting there one day.
This is one thing I gotta say from my perspective that I'm seeing is like your manifestation abilities right now are like kind of a little scary. Yeah. Like you're putting something out and it's like happening.
They're strong. They're
like,
strong.
Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, do you feel that?
I here are my thoughts. Yes, my manifestation abilities are strong. I've since high school, I preach manifesting your destiny. I also really, really, really intensely, more than ever, manifested beating KSI, and it didn't happen. So I think there might be something.
There's probably just some sort of disconnect there. I think you got overconfident. I don't know. Or maybe it was a training thing. But listen, 2020... 2021, like there's never been a time when I've personally felt so confident in the build out right now, like the team right now. Like we've made some changes here, and the current build out is we're ready for action, bro. Like this is just, this fight, this AB fight, all this DAZN discussion is 8% of the total strategic.
Of course, yeah.
Like I'll say it, like it's not locked down, but it's in discussion, potentially an impulsive tour. Going around the country, shooting impulsive in different cities. And
the only reason it's not locked down is because of the fight. Because
of the potential fight, and also just because it's being explored. Would you go see an impulsive tour in person? Tickets, you come, you show up, we do this in front of a live audience in your city. Comments below, drop it, let us know if you would want to see it, where you're at, where you would watch it, so on and so forth.
Of course.
Be crazy,
of course,
right?
It's gonna happen.
Be crazy, bro.
So that's one thing. But the vlogs, the content, we got a lot of philanthropic stuff on the roadmap. Military, doing stuff with them. With, I mean, shit. How much stuff did we cover in that strategic meeting yesterday?
So much. Million, so much. Like, and I gotta give God a shout out to dang, Jeff,
manager Jeff. Jeff, just stepped the slaying fuck back it up. Yeah,
bro. He hit 2020 harder than I've ever seen him. He comes with a full on outline out in detail. Didn't miss a fucking beat. Also found a script that I gave notes on that Evan and I had written by two professional writers.
Found it.
Oh, I didn't
found
tell
it.
You?
Yeah.
Found it. He fucking
he
found
took
the
it
script.
To protect it. Did you know that? You
he didn't found either? The He's script, Danny. He's he told it. Me I started crying. I started crying. Yeah. I was like, I won't believe it till I see it. He sent me a video. Here's the reason we're freaking out, because I put so many hours into putting notes on this script. Me and Evan just sat at that table over there.
Which this is a script for
a movie. That, that, would be, that we can't say. But so many hours of just like, it's hard to recreate creative notes. Like 50 hours of going through a script and coming up with new ideas and everything. Like, I was going to have to do that again.
You were absolutely fucking trampled by the fact that script was lost.
Yeah. I was.
And by the way, it's hard to do, but it's also when you go through and write something for the second time because the first one is lost. Every keystroke pains you. Uh-huh. Every letter that you write hurts your fucking soul. I've been there before after a computer crash and you lose 50 pages of a book and having to try to remember and write. And you always have that thought in the back of your mind: the first time was better. The first time was better. Every stroke fucking hurts, dude.
Painful. And so Jeff comes through and because I was whining about it in the meeting. And he's like, nope. He goes, 7BI. 7BI. I'll go to 7BI. He's like, I found the, just blur that, bleep that. Like, I'm sorry, I can't say the title. But he found the script.
Yeah, but I think like the biggest note there is just like, yo, we are diversified. I mean, like, I'm just about done with this book. I think there's a lot of people out there that like, are on the outside looking into this camp and everybody has their shit to talk about Logan or about the team or whatever. But like, We're just gonna keep fucking winning, dude. Like, we're just gonna keep fucking. Like, when he wants to fight a major athlete, a celebrity, musician, whatever, he's gonna do it. If he wants to put out music, it's gonna bang. People are gonna fuck with it. But we are diversified machines, and the reason why is not for any fan strength. It's not because we manifest. Maybe some of it, but the biggest thing is we work. We fucking work, bro. We wake up, we hit the ground running every single day. It's never a question like, yo, am I going to get up today? Am I going to do this?
But
we just get up and do it, bro.
The thing is like, I mean, a lot of people are out there working hard and they're not like getting anywhere in life. So what do you think it is? Do you think it's the fact that we all just are surrounded by each other?
I think people make the mistake of working harder and not smarter. A lot of people do this.
Yeah, for sure.
Work smart and like
and hard kinda
you obviously have to work hard, but man, I remember I always think of this fucking kid. I think his name was Anthony in high school when we would lift weights in the off season for football. This kid worked so fucking hard. he was the hardest worker in the room, but for some reason his body had a cap. He couldn't surpass a certain level. He was never going to make varsity. He wasn't an athlete, but he would work harder than everyone. His attitude was crazy. He was the most headstrong dude I've ever seen in my life, but he just was never able to cross that hump of varsity, if you want to call it, or a level that the A team was making.
Right.
And
there's Logan in the background popping doses of fucking Deca and Trent into his ass.
No,
he's like,
no,
work
no,
smarter,
no.
not harder.
No.
He's like, I put on 70 pounds of mass this week.
No. For me, my argument for him would be like, I understand you want to be on the football team and, you know, score touchdowns, block for your quarterback, whatever it is, but maybe working smarter is allocating your time doing something else that you love, because football, let's be honest, is not going to take you anywhere. Just the way it
is. Hold on a sec. That doesn't seem like a solid battle plan. I mean, if you have your heart set on something, I mean, fucking go for it.
Be realistic.
Yeah, there has to be.
Wait, hold on a second. There's a lot of people that told you flat out you will never be a boxer. There's people that say it still every day. If you started listening
It's a fine line. It's a fine line.
It's a very fine line.
Yes, it's very fine. At some point, you got to come to terms and be like, is this my destiny? Yeah.
And by the way, I've had that moment in my life. You remember when we tried a game? You remember when I tried to be a gamer?
You weren't that bad at Fortnite.
I wasn't a professional gamer. So eventually, I had to look in the mirror and go, I'm working hard right now. I'm streaming, you know, at 10 hours a day. I'm not working smart. This isn't me. I can do this as long as I want. I am not a fucking professional gaming streamer.
Is that why you hate gaming so much? Is that part of the reason? Because it didn't work out for you?
No. I really.
You think it's a massive distraction.
It is. Yeah, it is. Unless you're going to be a professional gamer, I highly recommend, like, stop gaming.
You know who's good enough to do it? Evan. I'm dead serious.
You told me this before.
This kid is that good at Call of Duty and Fortnite. He is that good. Like, I'll be playing Call of Duty with him at night, and, like, you know, a normally good Call of Duty game might be like a 28-2, like 28 kills. He'll go 65-3 four matches in a row. The kid is absolute fire on the sticks. We just have shitty internet here. He needs better internet to stream.
I feel like the key is diversifying, though, because if you are only good at gaming, like, dude, think about how many kids are out there right now listening to this probably that game all day and want to be a professional gamer, and they're not going to be. Like, you got to also be good at some other stuff.
I agree.
Like, you have to have some core skills that are going to take you somewhere, you know, no matter what.
I mean, it's the whole don't put your eggs in one basket thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Gary Vee hits on what we're talking about a lot. This particular thing. He's like, you got to A, diversify, but also be realistic about what you're doing. And by the way, you're right. Absolutely. It is a fine line. Bro, absolutely. You know how many fucking people told me I was never going to do shit with videos online?
Yeah.
I had a bet. Yeah. You remember Brian Guzik? He bet me $100 I would never make $100 off YouTube. And I did.
$100?
Like, he goes, I bet you $100 you'll never make $100 off YouTube. I was like, I bet.
Maybe he meant in 2018. Maybe he meant in 2018. Then he kind of would have been close.
This was like 2012. And you also, what happens, like, and by the way, fuck me. When people tell me that, I go,
all right, watch.
I go, all right, fuck you. Watch me do this. So if you're hearing this, and I tell people, who did I have this conversation? I had this conversation with George when he told me he wanted to pursue music.
When I
told him my opinions about his music, I was like, you got two options here. You can prove me wrong. Or B, take my advice and do something that you're actually, like, really phenomenally good at, which is acting and entertainment.
He's a very good actor. Comedy.
Comedy specifically. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're way off, yeah?
Yeah, we gotta pull back.
We gotta fight that. No, it wasn't you. I mean, we went. I kind of want to address this Iran and Australia shit, too. I mean, should we do it just way later? Yeah. It's such an important fucking topic.
Yeah, Dylan says we do it later.
Yeah, but he says a lot of fucking stupid shit.
No, but he's also a great dancer, as we've seen on his Instagram.
Facts.
Dylan, our producer, is on a 5-year streak of dancing with his family, and this man can dance.
Yeah. I think I sent this to you guys, right? Did you guys realize this?
Yes. Why'd they put you in the back? You're the best dancer in your family. You were the most enthusiastic, bro.
Yeah.
I like that.
By the way, we got great feedback on that lost episode of Impulsive. Great feedback. Yeah, people fucking loved it, dude. All right, so off. Games. What do you got, Mac?
He's just telling me to clear it. So let's go back chronological. In New York, we went to this mall. I just went real quickly. It's called the American Dream. If you live anywhere around New York, you need to go to this mall. The American Dream.
What's a ticket like that cost for the whole thing?
It's not a... Each section is different. By the way, they're not calling it a mall.
No.
They're calling it a destination. Is that what it is?
I think they're visionaries, bro. It's insane. There's a ski slope here. I have a picture of it here. An indoor ski slope in one section of the mall. This is the family.
That's not even all of it, by the way. There's off to the right and left. There's more. It's like it's a massive ski slope.
Shout out Baruch. He's asleep.
just took a nap.
But yeah. This family, we'll keep them private. But they own the mall, and they're like, yo, we're just a bunch of kids that come up with crazy ideas and implement it in this mall. So there's a ski slope, an aquarium, an ice rink, an indoor amusement park with the highest vertical, the steepest vertical roller coaster in the world.
We are at a mall.
What?
We are at a mall, and they say, guys, please, we'd like to show you our amusement park. So we walk in and they stick us on this fucking roller coaster and we're sitting there. There's like six of us sitting there. We cut the whole line and I'm like, we're in a mall roller coaster. What is this going to be like? Like Thomas the Toy Train, like toot toot.
It was a real deal?
Bro, when I fucking tell you, we go down this track, all of a sudden we are vertical, climbing a wall that cannot be, the top of it cannot be seen. And then all of a sudden we come to the top of it. And it points you straight down like this, and then it locks, and you're stuck. Bro. You're looking at the ground like this. And then I look down and I go, where's the track? There's no track under us. The track goes underneath.
For the biggest drop of the whole thing,
you're underneath the track. And of course, when we get to it and we're at the tip of it, he goes, they're all like, this isn't supposed to happen. Like,
What's happening?
Like, and I knew it was bullshit, but bro, all of a sudden you hear, and then bro, you drop, you go up a 7,000 foot fucking loop de loop. Like, I'm like, yo, we were at a mall.
Wow.
And then we leave that. They put us on the next thing that it's those, you know, those pirate ships that go back and forth.
Of course.
This
classic.
One 360s as you go back and forth, but it also goes all the way around and it stops at the top.
Do you have any photo evidence of this? I think you're bullshit.
I'm sure
man.
You can pull some of this shit.
If you followed us on Instagram, you may have seen it at Logan Paul at Hey Big Mike.
You got the picture from the snow slope before too, because you got that tall gargantuan woman, the 7 foot tall fucking lady. I've never,
this girl right here who's with us for the day. Her name is Rachel. I've never met a girl. She's 9 feet tall, and it doesn't look like in this photo, but you could trust
it. A foot and a half of her legs are actually under snow in this. That's why we buried her down a little to bring her into frame, because originally her head was out of the frame of the picture. It was through the ceiling of the ski slope.
But yeah, there's also an indoor water park, and this is all themed, Nickelodeon themed, Madagascar themed water park, biggest indoor wave pool in the world. I've never seen anything like it, these guys, we made friends with them, and they took us to dinner. They're fucking
talk
awesome.
Talk about the right people to become friends with.
Super cool, down to earth kids. And hearing them, my and I told them this. My favorite part about the mall, besides the fact that it is truly like a double or triple generation family business, mm-hmm. family owned business, and they're all like very very tight, is hearing them talk about the mall in a way where you can feel the passion. He goes, yo, I want people to walk into my mall. I want them to feel.
Yeah.
I want them to leave here with an experience that they'll never forget for the rest of their life. And I was just like, do they have rooms purely dedicated for experiences? Just side note, I was in the bathroom with one of the brothers.
What the hell were you doing in there?
Well, you were there too. We were just peeing. And he goes to me and Mike, he said, I've been around you guys for a day and a half, and I've never met anyone that talks more about dicks than you guys.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I didn't realize that we make so many dick jokes.
Stuck in the dick sand.
Yeah, it's bad. It's so bad.
It's a great mall. American Dream. This is not sponsored. We have no reason to say this. By the way, they don't want to pay any influencers. They want people to come there, see the mall, and then be as blown away as we were by it. It's in East Rutherford, New Jersey, right next to Giant Stadium. And it's a massive, I think it was like a $9 billion investment.
Oh my God.
No, $6 billion.
$6 billion.
That was one thing. So you hear about money in the billions. I have never seen ever any sort of billion-dollar project or any like $1 billion put to work.
Well, you have. You just haven't seen the people. You know what I'm saying? Like you've been in structures true. Before, but to be with the people that actually were part of the reason that took place is quite wild.
It was insane.
It's quite wild.
$6 billion put to work in such a cool, magical way.
Yeah.
I have here in my notes, New York girls / New York people.
I had the one girl in New York that was hot, dude. Remember the?
I do remember. I'm always taken aback when Mike is with a hot girl.
He always says this. I think he means like a girl that he would consider quality.
Like we're talking
for
like nine or ten.
She was hot.
She's beautiful.
She's actually moving here, I think, too. She's a pretty okay. girl.
I think this might have been her. No, maybe it wasn't her. But I had a girl. She she hit me on accident. She just like hit me pretty hard. And then she said, sorry for hitting me. And I like didn't respond. And then she hit me again for not acknowledging that she said sorry. And I'm like, wow, we're in New York. That's right. That's it.
You know, that girl that I was talking about was long in a long-term relationship with Vinny Guadagnino from Jersey Shore.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, so did you secure the bag? Did Mike put in some work in New York?
What bag?
The female that was a 9
bro,
or a 10.
I
mean, less pussy, more bags, bro.
Yeah. That's straight up. 2020.
Wait,
but hold on.
Yeah,
still,
well,
yes.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah, but that said.
Mike loves to take breaks. We are at a crosswalk, and I noticed this happened in New York a lot. There's a lot of crosswalks. We're walking everywhere. He would stop, and even though the hand is red and it says not to walk, we could go. Like, there's not that many cars.
It's like 3 in the morning.
And Mike's, I'm like, well, why don't we just go, huh? We like cross the street. He goes, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. Any opportunity I get to take a break, I'm gonna take it.
Well, listen, dude,
all the time.
It's one is my ankle and two is my age, bro. But anything that starts with A, dude, aardvarks.
Really?
When you get to an age or an energy level, you look for those opportunities to take breaks. And usually I can hide it under some sort of guise. Like there's a red hand that says do not cross. So am I doing it to take a break or am I just simply following?
Are you
a law-abiding citizen? Right. Great film, by the way.
Watched it last night.
Phenomenal.
If you have not seen Law Abiding Citizen with Gerard Butler, Jamie Foxx.
Stop what you're doing right now unless
you're watching the show, in which case wait till there's another ad break. Watch that one, the following ad break, then all of the rest of the ad breaks until the end of the show, then watch Law Abiding Citizen immediately. But yeah, take breaks, dude. Take a breather. Stop. Gather it, take the sights in, stand at the crosswalk, wait till that hand turns white and then walk, dude.
Also learned that I have, Mike pointed this out, I have an unorthodox walking pattern. I learned this about myself. I am the most unorthodox walker in the history. I'll never get hit by a sniper.
No,
ever.
Impossible.
Bro, I'm walking sideways, backwards, swerve, zigzag. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just like, I'm looking. It's my personality. It's sporadic. It's impossible. I'm just like, yes, bing, bing, bing.
He walks drunk when he's sober.
Yeah, it's weird.
What about when you're drunk? Do you walk sober?
I think so.
All right. So anyways, fucking New York was incredible. It was easily the best part of the trip.
Yep.
I lived 20 miles from the city my whole fucking life. I've been in that city. I know that city. Never in my life have I been on a trip that was that fucking good.
Yep.
It was the best 3 or 4 days of probably that I can ever remember joining together as days that I can remember.
I love to hear it.
Just courtside, dinners, the girls, the club, like everything worked out perfectly. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop the whole trip, never fucking did. As soon as we left, both of us got the flu. As soon as we fucking left.
The moment Mike and I split up, everything went wrong, and not just for us. Everyone in the house just getting fucked
puking,
by life, bro.
Sneezing, shitting, just dying.
What'd you
bro.
Do the final night? Did you lick something that you shouldn't have? Both of you?
Oh. Do you remember? I'm not saying that's what it was, but do you remember that part of the trip with the fucking.
This is real?
Yeah, what'd you guys get into? I heard poop on a vacuum.
Yeah,
there's vacuum.
You don't
poops?
Remember what I'm talking about?
Poop?
Yeah, we'll hit it after the show.
Come on, no, say
nah,
it.
Nah,
oh, yes. Yeah, okay.
Is that what the flu's from?
Nah, no, right? No.
Come right. on.
It was a vacuum of poop on it. Nothing. Go. We'll talk about it after.
No, yeah, I got influenza. I was sweating the bed. Get your flu shot. Mike was sick as well. Evan apparently back home got choked
assaulted,
by his cousin.
Yep,
assaulted
yep,
by
yep.
his cousin.
Wait, what?
And yeah. He was telling us. He goes, this it really fucked me up. Like,
he told his family that our land was stolen from the Indians.
No. Nope. We stole America from the Indians.
You just took what I said and just twisted it. Just a little bit.
Well, no, accurately. You just said our land was stolen from the Indians.
Our current land was stolen from the Indians. Okay,
no,
fine.
No. That's not even remotely true. He told his family that we stole, us white folk, our ancestors stole America
okay,
from
fine.
The Indians.
Okay.
The exact opposite of what you just said.
Our land that we're on now was stolen from the Indians by us. That's the part you're missing. Yes. That's the part. Sorry, that's what I'm missing. Yeah.
All right, here's the thing. Both of you shut the hell up.
Okay, so anyways, and they are very like, America.
Right.
We found this land. We fought for PBRs and basket pictures. And he was just like, yo, literally, like, I don't know what you just said, but right. we stole this land from the Native Americans. And
Is this Evan that said this?
Yeah, oh, yes. And with one foul swoop. And by the way, Evan's a fucking conservative ass motherfucker, so I'm surprised he was even doing that.
Right.
And with one foul swoop, this lady choked him up.
It was his cousin.
Oh, it was a lady.
It was his cousin.
It was a lady
choked
cousin.
Him up Dad. And straight the fuck out of
you
him.
You can't say that. You can't say that.
Danny's marking it.
I'm looking this up. What is? Oh, you can't say that.
You got the meme?
You absolutely cannot say that.
God.
Are you kidding me?
Well, it's just an ongoing thing. And Evan did specifically say that if we draw any attention to this...
You have no.
He's doing it.
You have
he's
no
doing
control.
It. Just so you know, quickly, and I know that part got cut, but we're laughing like hyenas here. We got into this new thing, and by the way, we've lived here for a long time, where Logan realized that I have like an ultimate power over him. If at any moment I want him to go to the floor, I simply have to make him laugh. He goes like this to me now. He goes.
I have a picture of it because it happened in Tahoe. See,
that's him doing it. Wait, there's him doing it right there. So look at his eyes. So
you're almost dead there,
bro. Because he
was good.
You don't understand. Mike starts making jokes, and I start crying. This was in Lake Tahoe. Let's skip to Lake Tahoe. We went to Lake Tahoe after we all separated for the holidays. And
nothing big happened in Cleveland that you want to talk about, like influencer related.
There's one thing.
What happened? Come on, guys.
But this was in Tahoe, and bro, Mike just makes me laugh so hard, and it really affects my health. Like, you know when you have a laughing fit and you can't breathe and you're sobbing and there's tears streaming down your face? Like you would have thought like a relative just died. Mm. You could see a tear. It's glistening in this film pic that David took, by the way.
Shout out to Matt Davidson.
Bro, crying.
There is a tear.
Tears.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like all the drinking you guys, I've said this, all the drinking you guys have done, the laughing is counteracting that.
That's what makes us sober.
Yeah, so much laughing.
He actually left the kitchen. There's a girl here that he, you know, is friends with or whatever, and he had to actually leave the scene. We didn't know where he was for 20 minutes. He was recollecting his ability to exist.
I couldn't be near him anymore. And then he fucking found me and made me laugh again. And next thing I know, Mike is hurling his lifeless, fully clothed body into the indoor pool.
Do you have that pic or no? We have him. You gotta be careful because there's nudity with the other people. Like, well, I had to escape a conversation that we were having because it went so haywire that my only choice was to throw my body fully clothed into the pool to escape the conversation. That's how crazy it was.
Wow. So then I followed because, you know, solidarity, brother. But yeah, so yeah, in Cleveland, there was, you know, there's.
You just went back to the city?
I don't know. You just said it.
I said a thing that we can't talk about.
Well, let's just stay in Tahoe. All right,
fine.
We're in Tahoe for New Year's. Bro, by the way, I'm sorry. Like,
no, I'm enjoying
how
this.
How was your trip?
I mean, just keep going, man. Just keep going.
Well, hold on.
I can imagine it's the exact opposite of what we're describing.
It was the exact opposite.
Like,
exactly.
You were in Kauai.
Yeah, I meditated literally every day.
You shaved Andre's head.
I went
head.
On a hike. I shaved a man's head.
You shaved his head?
I did. Yeah. I snuck up on him.
Oh, wait, seriously?
Yeah.
No, he knew it was about to happen. Let's whatever, be honest, dude. You guys aren't that.
No, it was the exact opposite. I mean, your guys' trip is far more entertaining, especially for this audience.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Let's dive in.
Yeah.
So what happened in Cleveland?
No, fuck Cleveland. Tahoe was great.
Yep.
It's been, by the way, it's been on my bucket list since 2010 in a relaxation room at Connecticut Valley Hospital in rehab. I put Ski Heavenly Lake Tahoe on my bucket list once I got clean to do that.
Wow.
And so it meant a real, real lot to me to be at the top of Heavenly with my best friends. And the view is indescribable. There's no word to describe what it's like to be at the top of Heavenly looking over Lake Tahoe.
Freaking made it.
Just, yeah.
You made it.
Yeah. And so that was awesome. We skied.
It was cool. It was cool to see him live that moment because like, At one of the lowest points of his life, he wrote down that as the goal, and I was living it with him.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
A girl came up to us at the Snow Globe Festival. She was really pretty.
She was
really pretty. She goes, hey guys, I knew at the bar I acted like I didn't know you, but I actually listened to your podcast every day.
Ooh, okay.
I was like, this bitch.
She came up to us at the bar and she was like, you guys doing shots? And we're like, yeah. And she was like, what's up? I'm whatever. And I'm like, Mike. And she's like, okay, Matt, you said? And I was like, yeah, Mike. And then she's like, hi, what's up?
Hi, Logan.
Hi, Logan. Good to meet you. And then went back. And then all of a sudden, she's like, she came up to us. She's like, I know I said I didn't know you guys, but I really love Impulsive. Yeah, I watched that Night Shift too. And like, I was like, this is fucking crazy.
It's cool.
That's the best compliment we can get.
Yeah, bro.
Mike called the girl a Smurf in Tahoe.
Yeah, this was a weird one.
He calls people Smurfs sometimes.
Yeah, all the time.
That's common.
Except not Evan because he obviously takes the wrong way. He takes massive offense to it, dude. So, but he called this girl a Smurf, and she goes, oh no way, that reminds me, I got to check my Smurfville.
She's and busts out her phone and is playing a game called Smurfville and has to feed her Smurfs. I'm like,
no,
full on village. Chopping wood, collecting, mining rocks. All the
is that a problem? Like, what's your perspective on that?
I think a problem is like assaulting your wife.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. If your problem is playing Smurfville, then like fucking go for it.
You're chilling.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
yep.
What are the chances, man? Life is pretty freaking stunning.
So then Tahoe. Anything else happened there? We ate a bunch of fucking food.
Then we go to military. Then we go to fucking military.
And by the way, we almost didn't go.
We almost pulled out because in Tahoe, mind you, we are still both fighting the flu. The first two days in Tahoe, I was in bed. I wasn't moving. I wasn't doing anything. And so we were maybe not going to go to this intensive military combat training camp, but we're like, Tim Clemente, the guy who invited us, who you may remember from the Gucci Face Jacob video.
Oh,
yeah. Shout out.
Yep. Yeah, the one who handled Jacob's foreign affairs.
I miss him.
And by the way, help me, anti-terrorist,
one of the biggest, like, most well-known anti-terrorist, like just anti-cartel, like, this dude is the real fucking deal. Like, when CNN needs, he's one of the only people to get this, like, prestigious anti-nuclear threat award.
Yes. What?
Like, he found it. What? Oh, really?
I think he found it.
He was part of this like anti-nuke team for the federal guy. I mean, this dude was like, is like the real fucking
deal, you would never know. He's the nicest guy.
Exactly. So what we just described, obviously we're not going to tell this dude not coming to his camp.
Cuz he was so excited too.
So pumped.
Like, he's like, that's okay. And no, then you like no, he'd get kill, killed.
He'd kill, yeah, kill. Exactly. Yeah. So we showed up and it was awesome.
So awesome.
It was awesome. It was also very difficult. For me, anyways, I did the obstacle course, and you'll see all this online. This will be a really, really, really awesome piece of content.
Two, right?
Two, yeah. We're going to split it into two. Obstacle courses, firearms training, rappelling, fast roping, just a bunch of really athletic, like, military-based training. And it was cool to see military training firsthand. You hear about our military, mm-hmm. you hear about our army. Mm-hmm. To see these guys talk about their country and the way their passion for freedom, it affects you.
Massively.
It affects you. Mm-hmm. The one main guy we were working with, his name is Dom.
Dom Rosso. He is another very well-known member of the military. He is a legitimate SEAL Team 6 member, former SEAL Team 6 member, as you know, the most prestigious special ops team in the world. This is the team that killed Bin Laden. This is the team that found Saddam Hussein. Like, they are the cream of the crop.
Real deal.
Like, these are the guys that fucking sneak up in the middle of the night and do shit and that we don't want to know about so that we can do this show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this guy is very, very well known and very, very proficient with high grade firearm technology. He's extremely combat capable. And honestly, like, I don't think there's a person in the world that I would rather have learned how to
ever
disarm a person that, you know, is trying to hurt you. Or, you know, he taught us how to shoot our ARs and be proficient with handguns. I mean, and by the way, every person that worked with us was in some way a special ops.
Every single person.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like if someone ran through the garage door right now, I don't know if I can say that, just like
any threat, you're saying any threat, if any threat happens,
could you disarm someone?
Absolutely.
I personally feel much better than I ever have in my life. For that type of activity,
just like a safety thinking on your feet thing. Like, they told me before we did the camp that they were going to push me to a level and
evolve me and transform me. And I was like, okay, man. Like, I've been through a lot of shit mentally and physically. I went to boxing camp, went like survived like X amount of scandals. Like, I've been through the fucking ringer, and they put me through the ringer, dude. Like, they pushed me. I remember on the second day I was doing the obstacle course for like the seventh time. By the way, the obstacle course is fucking, it is so hard. It is so, not to mention with the 25-pound bulletproof vest on and the AR.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I opted not to do it. And he's doing it with I did little sections, and I did the course without many of the obstacles, and I did some of the obstacles by themselves. But when you combine all of them, he did it with the 30-pound plates, with the AR, with a loaded handgun. He was climbing over cargo nets that were like six stories high.
It is so hard. And I got to the end, and Tim, he's like, great job. You see, you're standing up straight. You're not tired like you were yesterday. Because the first time I ran the course, I blew it. Like, I just, it was so hard. I sucked at it. And I was like, thanks, Tim. He goes, you ready to go again? I was like,
brought him right back to the beginning.
I go, oh, fuck yeah.
It's raining. It's raining. And by the way, in between every obstacle, you're doing 12 pull-ups. You're doing burpees. Like, it's a disaster. And he comes back and he does the fucking course again.
45 minutes of just shooting, climbing, training, push-up, burpees, pull-ups. And they would throw flashbangs in when I was
real
in some structure.
Bangs.
Like, bro, it was crazy. That was the first 2 days. The second day we did simulated scenarios where we like had to like save a hostage for one of us.
We had to clear rooms, like, and all of this is rooted the entire time in the why. That was the biggest thing they wanted to give us the entire time, is why are we doing this? Okay, like, the biggest thing that dawned on me from being with these guys for 4 days or 5 days there in Virginia was, we live in this fickle society. And I said this on the last day when we were standing in front of the Navy SEALs monument, yeah. which was built to honor these guys that gave everything, gave their lives. And that's what the memorial is for.
Really,
no,
hear
you'll
about
never
it.
Hear
that's,
their
that's
names.
Said.
The stars
said,
are there. Yeah. You'll never hear their names. And standing with these guys, I told him in front of the memorial, I said, we live in this fickle fucking world where everything is based on likes and clout and money and all of this fucking bullshit. And to see him and to hear him and to feel how dedicated he is to this country and to honoring the people that have come before him and to honoring and loving his wife and his children. And what he's willing to do to protect this country so that people like us can do the fickle bullshit that we fucking do every day had a massive, massive, massive impact on me.
Yep.
Massive. And honestly, when I came back, even though a lot of it has slightly trickled away now that I'm back in the bubble, as we call it, I still have a piece of it inside of me that makes me want to be just slightly fucking better, dude. Mm-hmm. 'Cause these guys live every second of their day dedicated and committed to making this world a better place. And it's shocking. Mm-hmm. It's a shock to your system, bro.
It is unbelievable. That's what I'm saying. Like, even just experiencing the slightest taste of like their mindset and being around them it's contagious. It's inspiring. It's motivational. It's fascinating, to be honest. And yeah, just being around them for the minute 72 hours that we were with them, where we become slightly better as human beings.
Absolutely.
which is awesome.
Absolutely. And I think that I'm sure if you're watching this and you follow us on Instagram, you saw some of our sentiment on both Twitter and Instagram the day after we left. And I thoroughly will say it once again. I say it from my heart, and I actually truly, truly mean this. Thank you so much to every service member, armed service member, military member that's watching the show right now. I know they are our fans. We have a lot of fans in that community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a brother-in-law who's about to redeploy in the Navy. We've got family members. Danny's got family members. You know,
you know Greg Paul was served in Army National Guard?
I think he told me that. Yeah, I think he told me that. So we all have family members, and honestly, like, massive, massive thanks. And this is not some fucking bullshit just to say it type thing. Like, I truly, truly mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I believe and I hope that in 2020 we can start doing more to give back to that community, because it is so vital.
I was gonna say we need to include the armed forces in our 2020 for the rest of our life, our initiatives. And
it's so easy to take that for granted, man.
You don't think about it, right? No. You don't think about the guys in the front lines who are risking their lives.
I did,
so
because
you can
my dad,
you can have your freedom.
That's the only reason, though. If I didn't have my dad serving in
you know, Kuwait and Iraq, like I wouldn't think about those things.
I didn't know Bob did that.
Yeah.
That's I didn't know Bob put it up like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a G. But dude, I mean, looking at the situation now, it like gives me a whole, you know, in Iran, it gives me a whole different perspective. Cause, you know, before you jump on the trains of like all these politicians rushing to use it for their agenda, like you gotta pay your respects, you know, like at the end of the day, people are willing to go overseas and fight for us.
Yeah.
Like, that's
so
crazy.
So yeah. So we should dive into this. I mean, at least a little bit. I think it's the past, 5 days have been extremely, it's a complex situation. It's
definitely,
it's breaking as we speak, it's continuing to break. And obviously we saw a situation that started with our consulate in Iraq, right, was the original situation that to which Trump killed the general.
Yeah, he ordered
one of the generals
the
of the Iranian government.
Yeah,
to which they fired missiles at one of our bases in Iraq.
Yeah.
And this has been this continued kind of trade off. And, you know, now obviously there's a ton of conversation around was Trump in the right,
right.
for.
Yeah.
Killing Anti-war. This, yeah, for killing this general, and he'll say that he was killing to protect lives,
right?
And so there's a lot of conversation there right now around, you know, did he have the right to do it? Should he have done it? And you know, it's a very, very, very complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like I can see why there are people.
Yeah.
That would say that he's doing certain things to distract from another agenda, which is taking place.
And, yeah, and political.
And I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, I don't think any of us.
So did you know the general that was killed?
Yep.
He basically invented the IED,
IED
program,
right? He was one of the inventors of the IED.
Yeah. So he's responsible. Him, that man alone, is responsible for 17% of U.S. service members' deaths in Iraq.
My God.
From general the course of like 2002.
Salome, right? Yep.
It was interesting being with the military guys.
Yeah, what did they think about this?
We didn't really dive in with them.
Yeah, but I've talked to them a little bit afterwards, and I think these guys, a lot of these guys are very locked into the service to the country and the leadership of this country. And so when something pops off, they are 100% in full support of the president. I'm sure there's people, you know, service members that are watching the show or you know, people, you know, veterans that disagree with this. But a lot of the people that I see that are in the armed forces are just very gung-ho and they're ready to fight. And that's what they're trained to do. And by the way, they like fucking doing it. And so it just is really tricky. And I think you made a good point that, you know, it's easy to watch the politicians move the pieces around the board without thinking of the actual collateral,
yeah.
you know, and that collateral is American lives, you know, and.
Well, it's also potentially like, I know, Iran they have their, nuclear weapons, like they're building nuclear grade uranium right now.
Trump said. He tweeted, I think in all caps, Iran does not have any nuclear weapons.
They don't yet, but they have facilities that are processing nuclear uranium.
So basically what's happened here is Iran was in a shutdown of their nuclear program based on U.S. and other countries running really tough sanctions against them. And so we've been in this kind of uneasy peace with Iran for a long time now. And what you're seeing at the high levels, you saw this attack from Trump. You saw this kind of almost like purposeful miss is what people are kind of calling it. They launched dozens of rockets at this massive sprawling base. From what we know right now, there's no U.S. casualties. But the thing that a lot of people need to understand is this has caused massive waves that are not human casualty based. They have now backed out of their treaty to stop making nuclear weapons. So they are going to start back on production. And maybe that scares some people, but doesn't scare Trump or the U.S. government. And that's fine. Yeah. We've seen,
or maybe they were already still doing it. You know,
I'm sure there's like watchdog groups making sure that there was or wasn't. Right. But then they've also, we've started to withdraw, U.S. troops from Iraq or Iraqi guard or something that was fighting ISIS and ISIL. So there's a lot of waves that come out of this attack that will continue to, kind of develop, you know? And so it's interesting to watch. I mean,
super hard to comment on it, you know, 'cause we don't know.
I mean, you just don't know. You don't know what that guy was doing. You don't know what he was planning, what he was doing, or if this is just a posture from Trump to get people to stop talking about impeachment. And to, by the way, to line him up for re-election. You know, I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but it's definitely possible.
While we're here talking about things that aren't so great, should we just brush. Pun may be inappropriately attended on Australia.
Cool. Yeah.
I think it's fine.
That, you see the inkling of this and it start to develop on social media and then it getting progressively worse and worse and worse and there's no real solution yet, it looks like. And, you know, 500 million animals burned and dead goes, it turns into 1 billion animals. And you see these pictures of like charred koalas and kangaroo. And Mike and I got caught in a deep, deep, deep hole after one of the nights in Virginia. And there's no other way to say it. It just, it breaks my fucking heart, bro. I adore animals. I love animals. And something about the helplessness of the landscape of Australia and seeing the sky just like these orange, red, smoke everywhere is absolutely heartbreaking. So we posted about it. We donated. And it just, does anyone have any updates? Is it still happening? Is there any?
Yeah, definitely.
It rained a little bit.
It did rain. Everyone knows it's incredibly catastrophic and devastating. I guess just if you're listening to this, if you don't know about the situation, please do something. Please donate a little bit. Donate whatever money you can. Spread awareness for all our fans in Australia. Like we are thinking about you. We're with you. We hope you're unaffected. For those who are affected, just know. I hate saying this, but like we really do care. And the more I can do and the more I can activate, the better. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those situations where like planet Earth, our home is burning to a crisp. We're falling apart.
And it's
here.
Just like hopping from one place to another. I've got a project coming up that I'd love to bring you guys in on down in the Amazon
in Fiji,
to replant.
Right? Was that
Fiji's one of them. Amazon rainforest is another one because of all the deforestation. I think what they're finding in Australia is a lot of these brush fires were the result of, and I don't know if it's fully this, but there were a lot of people that actually set the fires. So there's a bunch of people that got arrested.
Yeah, I saw there's some arson charges coming out. Yeah.
Also, humans have been creating dams, which is causing a lot of the aquifers to go dry. And so it's making the land a lot more arid. So I think this is like, I mean, obviously we're on a podcast, like how much can all of us do when it comes to this kind of stuff? Like sometimes it feels hopeless.
That's a good question. And I, from a social standpoint, there's two stories that I think that are coming out of this that I think are worth noting from the social sphere that we live in. Comedian Celeste Barber went on a fundraising rampage and raised over $32 million through her Instagram stories, Facebook.
Did you see this one influencer? So
I have that story as well.
You have that too?
Kaylin Ward is the other one. She promised nudes to anyone who donated money to the Australian brushfire relief. I believe she raised somewhere between $500,000 and $750,000.
That's amazing.
Instagram then shut her account down.
Yeah, her family like disowned her and all that.
She was deactivated. And by the way, she was already posting some pretty raunchy shit. But she sent some high quality nudes. And by the way, I donated 10 or 20 times as much as she was saying it would cost to get a nude from her. And
you didn't get
all
anything.
I got was I think Logan bought me a donut or something like that at the Marriott in fucking Fredericksburg, Virginia. So I feel
nice. It was nice.
That's a nice gesture.
But we've
donuts are the shape of boobs.
Honestly, for every for any influencer. No influencers are watching this right now, but if you are, God, 2 hours into this podcast, if you haven't yet posted anything to try to drive any attention or donations for this, like what's the holdup? You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is a big problem. This is I saw the numbers. It's at least like 5 times bigger than California and like, or no, it was like 10 times bigger than California and 5 times bigger than the Amazon. Basically the Amazon was one minuscule percentage of this fire in Australia. Right. It's a big fucking
deal. And all
deal.
Of these things combined. I think that's we talked about this the last time with the Amazon fires. I think what I'm seeing is long term, there's going to be a point where we all have to come together on some shit and like actually change things.
Yeah.
Like it's tough, man.
We're in a tough 2020 is off to a rough start. And by the way, like not even to
on a world level. You know, from like a somewhat like selfish, I'll say like personally, I think I feel pretty fucked.
Well,
good,
I mean, in all honesty,
that's for a good reason, you know? Like I think ultimately we as
content creators have far more power than these people that have the platforms right now.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that people like us are winning. Like we're able to actually make
an influence.
Well,
I think it's also important to just remember that like on January 2nd of 2018, when Tokyo was unfolding and the whole world was bad mouthing and Logan was going through the toughest time of his life, that he was winning on a exponential level still, even on the worst day of his life, against the people that are suffering from some of the plagues that this world has to offer. Facts. And so that perspective is important. Yeah. And when we go to Virginia and we meet our military, or when we look at the situation in Australia, or when we look at the situation in Iran, by the way, a plane crashed with 190 people on it. Everybody died, you know, on the same night that The Rock is like, there's a lot of fucked up shit going on in the world. I think it's important that we talk about it here. And I think it's important that we try to create action that makes changes to do better. And in 2020, that's a big goal 100%. For me in 2020. Honestly, it is. And my thing will be mental health and addiction. I've been very fucking upfront about that. That will be what I do, you know? And so I think it's, I think you're there. I think you're there. We've got a ton of really good foundations that we work with. And I think we just need to turn up the heat.
I think a lot of it's just action. You know, that's the biggest thing that I got from going down to the Amazon. It's like, I'm going to go down there again to actually plant trees in some of the areas. Nice. And like, let's do that. Like I encourage anybody out there, like hop on a plane, go to Australia in a few months when there's organizations that are out there and actually go plant some trees.
Or just like pick something though. You know what I'm saying? Like if your forte is not planting trees and like find something that truly means something to you.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm exactly saying?
Cause that's when you'll really act. Like if someone tries to give you a cause, Australia wildfires. Like you may not want to go to Australia and save the kangaroos because maybe you don't want to do that.
Right.
Find out what really makes you tick, what really makes you care, and then go fucking all in that fucking in that zone, in that discipline.
Truth. Bless you.
You guys want to close out or you want to play Would You Rather real quick?
Let's do one Would You Rather.
I don't really
what
care.
Do you got?
I mean,
you got something on the
we've sent these fans into fucking tailspin of no content. I'm sure they're pretty excited about this 8-hour podcast that we're on.
I'm down a little segment.
What do we got?
Let's land on a happy note here.
Yeah.
Got a segment. Dylan gave me these cards. Would you rather?
There we go.
Let's do a segment.
I'm gonna read the would you rather. You guys answer, then I hand it to Mike, and you ask us.
Okay.
You haven't seen these questions yet.
I know nothing.
Did you write these?
Yes.
That concerns me.
fuck. Always good colors.
Would you rather be able to read the minds of men or women?
I would say men. I don't want to hear what's going on in a woman's mind all the time.
What?
That it's just noisy. There's a lot of stuff going on. Right? That's what I'm saying. Men are like duh. Like women are constantly thinking about stuff.
That's not my reason. That's not my reason, but I would have the same answer just because I like to feel or think that I have a decent amount figured out about that particular side of our species. And I would in the world that I live in the, what's so fucking funny?
I'm just loving it.
Trying to die right now on this podcast.
I love you.
In the world I play in, the 90% of the people that are shot callers are men. And so if it means more money or more power for me or you know, the ability to be more successful in the space that I play in where most of the shot callers are men, I'd like to know what those motherfuckers are thinking.
What do you think? What do you think I'm thinking right now?
I know.
What time is dinner?
Nope. He's thinking.
Nap. Is it a nap?
He's thinking, I wish I didn't suck that dick.
No, that was a great power play. Do you know how much fucking free press he got off of that cock, dude? You crazy, dude.
I'm just telling you what he's saying.
Little cum goes a long way, dude.
Guys, please.
Cum go, get it. Are you getting all these fucking puns?
Are you getting these on video, Andre?
Are you recording?
Or did you somehow magically cut around my
phone? You shaved your head. Did you shave your video chakras off, too? Like, what's going on?
Episode 1 of 2020.
Logan, you'd rather
men.
Damn.
Huh? Women, obviously. What? I'm perplexed by women. Dude, I would love to know what they're
doing.
2 days
into it, you would just regret that.
Wow. No. It's not like a, it's like you can control. So I can be like, hey, like I'd like to know why you can. I've read a note card, bro. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, but what is that?
Why don't you read the fucking note?
All right.
Would you rather only be allowed to use a fork or a spoon for the rest of your?
Dylan, fuck you. Well, fuck you, Dylan.
Get another one.
No. Hey, go answer it.
A fork or a spoon for the rest of your life?
I'm gonna say a spoon.
Because if you're trying to eat something soupy and you're a fork, fucked. You're fucked, dude.
Yeah, I do a spoon too.
That's a good point.
You could use the reverse end of the spoon to pierce the food like
yeah,
the fork.
That's true. Nice, nice.
All right. Would you rather get married to a 10 with a bad personality or a 6 with an amazing personality?
That's the easiest fucking answer. Married?
Married.
Married?
Married.
Bro, every 10 at some point in your marriage is going to become a fucking 6, dude.
Ooh.
Time is a mean bitch, dude.
Not to me.
Okay?
Or you.
Facts. We're two exceptions. But listen, a 6 with a personality. Listen, a good personality can add 5 points. I'm not even fucking kidding.
It's true.
I have met a 6 that is so cool, so dope, so about the fucking team, about like trying to make good. Bro.
Way hotter.
Yo, could I make you some eggs? You look hungry. Do you need a place to stay tonight? You could stay in my house. You could have my bed. I'll sleep on the couch. You just went from a 6 to a motherfucking 9, dude.
Yeah.
6-9.
6 with a fucking. 6-9.
Respect.
What was your answer?
Same as you.
Okay.
Yep, pretty cut and dry. Would you rather your t-shirts always be your handwriting sucks. Your t-shirts always be 2 sizes too small or too big?
Are you fucking kidding me? This is a funny vision. That one's easy. That one's even easier.
Yeah, can you imagine just wear 2 sizes too small, Dylan?
Can you imagine just pulling up to a meeting, trying to play that one off?
You're screaming.
Hey, guys, I did it. I'm a fat Albert in this bitch, bro. Everything same. Extra large.
Same.
That's in. That's style.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, would you rather, this is a little squiggly, always be 10 minutes late or always be 20 minutes early? What the fucking fuck? What the fucking fuck, dude? What are these? Who came up with these questions? Yogi Bear? What is this shit?
We need some tea, dog. We need something.
Would you rather experience the beginning or end of the earth?
I would say the beginning.
Well, because otherwise you fucking die. Huh?
I'm pretty sure
you'd probably be dead as fuck in the beginning. Yeah, this place is not livable.
Dude,
bro.
It was like a lava filled single celled organism. Yeah, me, but like.
Yeah, not the sauce.
The end's probably pretty dope if you think about it, because think about what's going to happen before the end of the earth. The rapture, which means
everything
someone,
implodes.
Which means that we have gotten to the brink of the worst we have ever been. There's porn stars running around with AR-15s shooting little cats.
Yeah.
And everybody's fucking each other, dude. It's just a fucking orgy of violence and sexual deviancy. And then all of a sudden, the four horsemen of the apocalypse come in. Whoosh, 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 and start fucking shooting bazookas. Sodom and Gomorrah topple. LA and New York, of course. Trump starts dropping bombs. Podcast.
I think that's it right there. That's a hit.
That's a great note to end on, man.
I appreciate you, Mike. It's in the book of Revelations, dude. Impulsive, number one podcast in the world.
That's a fact. Yo, hit that subscribe button. We do have a new schedule. You should listen to this when
I
say it now. We're doing 2 podcasts a week. Tuesday's going to be no guest. Thursday's going to be guest. But 2 podcasts a week, so we can do other stuff.
Like what, Logan?
I don't know. You know, vlogs. Train for a fight. Other things.
Wear a shirt that's 2 sizes too small. Yeah.
Hit that subscribe button. Yo, we love you. It's 2020. Kick this year's ass. Come up with some stuff that's going to motivate you and make you do some shit that makes you want to achieve your goals.
Oof.
For real. Whether it's waking up early, whether it's eating healthy, 90-10 type shit. I'm on a 90% health diet, 10%. Yeah, Chef Katie makes some desserts some here and there.
Right. Right.
But
break down that fucking negative thought cycle. Get
facts.
Positive thoughts
facts.
Up there. You're going to conquer this year.
Yep.
Start honestly believing that. Tell yourself that every fucking day. I'm going to get up. I'm going to crush it today.
Not
I'm
just the
win.
Year, the decade. That's
everything,
what this is for. 2020, yo, make the next 10 years the best, hardest hitting 10 years of your life. This decade is going to be fucking amazing. We're so happy to ride with you for the rest of the eternity. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to Pulse, the number one podcast in the world. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way.
Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.